Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, from the worship to the word. Thank you for visiting us, being with us, Lord, speaking to our hearts and minds, reassuring us, comforting us, challenging us, Lord, convicting us, Lord, to be and become and to look more like you. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. We need you more today than ever. We need your word more today than ever, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying, fallen, broken world. God, we need your wisdom. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us through your word. As we know, man can't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what we live by. The word is our standard, Lord. Bless your word now. Bless your people that they may hear your word, discern your word, and live your word. We thank you for the lamp and the light that your word is, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have been going through this series, is God enough? We've been all over the place. I was just kind of going over this morning. I've been all over the place, right? And so I'm still trying to get back to Nehemiah, because we started with Nehemiah, then we went to love, and love took us to John, and then John took us to Revelation. Revelation took us to Thessalonians. Thessalonians took us to Matthew, where we are now. And I'm still trying to get all the way back to Nehemiah. But what we've been talking about lately is the return of Christ and the sign of the times. So Jesus told us what the sign of the times is. And you all know what Communion Sunday, I've been doing one message and I do a parable or I'll do a miracle or something to that effect. So for this Sunday, I'm doing a parable, but it's a parable on the end times since we've been talking about, or the return of Christ, since we've been talking about the return of Christ and when the time is. If you would just indulge me just for a second, Matthew 24 and 36. And it told us, but in that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So Jesus is the only one that knows. But as the days of Noah, we talked about this last week, the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We looked at the days of Noah. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So it was just business as usual. They were getting married. They were getting engaged. And, you know, we stated last week, just your good fortune that the day you get married is the day the Lord comes back. All right. Or the day the flood comes. Some of us said that was good. So it would have saved us, you know, we wish God would have came back the day I got married. Then I would be. No, I'm just kidding. Either way, it's business as usual and the Lord comes back. And then verse 39, and they got into the ark and they knew not the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. And we'll pick it up there next week. But the parable today, let's go to John 25 and 1. Just seeing if you're paying attention, Kathy. All right, Kathy, you with me? Where we at? Matthew, all right, 25 and 1. Thank you. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So Jesus is given a parable of his return. Make a note, there are 10 virgins. It's 10 of them. They all have the same amount of time each day, just like the rest of us. We all get 24 hours in one day. We're going to find that some were prepared and some weren't. What you do with your time, that's on you. That's not on God. They all had the same amount of time during the day. Kingdom is God's realm. So it talks about the kingdom of God. So I thought this was about the virgins, but it was really about the kingdom of God and having a kingdom mentality. Either you got a world mentality or you got a kingdom mentality. And that's what this was about. It was really about the mentality. Either you're prepared for God coming back, or you so distracted in the world, you'll never see God coming back. It's a kingdom mentality. It's not about the virgins. Virgin is a young lady, says a daughter that has not had sex and she has not been married. It's not about the virgins because it's not performance based. It's grace based. And I'm going to, you have to excuse my language a little bit today, but why you say old Tracy? Okay. Because there will be virgins in hell and there will be holes in heaven. Because it's not performance based. There will be virgins in hell and there'll be holes in heaven. Because it's not performance based, it's grace based. It's not because how they live their life is who they had in their life. Ask Rahab. Rahab is in the hall of faith. She's in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. It's not performance based, it's grace based. So I'm this and I'm that and I got it all. No, we don't have it all together. It's only because of Jesus Christ. So it had nothing to do with the virgins. It had everything to do with how they prepared themselves. But look at this. Okay, so kingdom mindset. So we have dual citizenship, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we're citizens of this earth, but we're also citizens of heaven, those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ. It's our personal Lord and Savior. So don't forfeit the permanent for the temporary. Don't get so caught up in this world that you forget that you're a citizen of heaven. This is what this is talking about. It's a kingdom mentality. Let's see, because I broke this down somewhere. Kingdom talks about God. Look at verse 25. Then shall the kingdom, okay, that's God's realm. That's royalty, okay? So it's talking about royalty. It's talking about your mindset. Are you living like a king's kid? What is the enemy's trying to get us to live like trash? It's a mentality. Jesus is saying this is get your mind right. That's why Paul told us we had to be renewed. Our minds need to be renewed. It's a kingdom mentality that we need to have. Family, I'm hoping and praying that we never live beneath who we are. Heaven is God's dwelling place. So then shall the kingdom, the realm of God, his dwelling place, be likened unto 10 virgins, 10 young ladies who were not married and never had sex, who took their lamps, and lamps can be considered their mind, their body, and their mind and their bodies. All right. And went forth to meet Christ. Okay. All right. We set the stage. This is the kingdom of God. God's realm, it can be likened unto 10 young ladies. It has nothing to do with young ladies. And actually, the virgins represent believers. So here we are. So we're the believers. All right. We took our minds, we took our bodies, and we went to meet Christ. And 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were intelligent, verse 2, and 5 were foolish. And the word foolish in the Greek is moros, where we get our word moron. You guys are sharp. So here we are, excuse my language again. So either you're a wise Christian or you're a stupid Christian. You're a wise believer or you're a stupid believer. And it's do you have a kingdom mindset or a world mindset? So it's basically saying, if you have a kingdom mindset, you're a wise believer. If you have a world mindset, you're a stupid believer. And believer, the term is used loosely because we're going to find out at the end. Everybody says they're a Christian. Everybody says they're a believer. They're really not. 5 of them were wise. Verse 2 and 5 were stupid. They that were stupid took their lamps and took no oil representing the Holy Spirit. They took their bodies, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit filling them. They had nothing relating to God inside of them. Nothing. I wonder why would he expound on the foolish before the wise? Because there's probably more stupid fools out there than wise believers. And the word says the road is narrow. And it's only a few there, but the broad is the way to destruction, and many's going to be on there. So I guess he addresses the wide road first. Verse 4, but the wise took oil. The wise were filled with the Spirit within their bodies. All right, so let's pause, because I'm going to come back to verse 3. But I want you to understand that if we're not born again with the Spirit of God, there's no such thing as a non-born again Christian. Look at John. Now I'm gonna go to John, Kathy. Look at John 3:1. Let's go to John 3:1, Natalie. So it talks about being born again, born of water, born of Spirit. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about a kingdom mentality. There was a man of the Pharisees, of the religious leaders, named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the name means conqueror. So Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a conqueror. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious ruler. He was a religious conqueror. But even though he was a conqueror, he still had to bow down before the king. None higher than the King of Kings. So I like Nicodemus. I like his style. Verse 1, 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by when?
Night.
By night. Sometimes when God wakes you up at night, talk to him. Talk to God. Remember, we've been talking about that private. The disciples got together with him privately. Nicodemus, he was a ruler. He had questions. He was trying to come to God. He was trying to learn more about God. So he had to come to him at night when all the riffraff was gone, when all the distractions was gone. At nighttime, when you're sleeping, when nobody else is around and it's you and God, go to God and talk to him. Be transparent. Be real with God. I tell my daughter JL's dad, some nights I can't sleep. Then that's the nights God's trying to talk to you. God, what do you want? God, talk to God. It's no accident. It's not insomnia. It's God trying to talk to us. You all upset. You got to humble yourself and you got to listen to God. Talk to God at night. If God wakes me up at 3:04 in the morning, there's a reason. Somebody I need to pray for. Something I need to talk to God about. Something I need clarity on. Take a nap during the day. Go to sleep on your job. You do it anyway. All right. I mean, like during your break time, you know. That's what I meant. I know what y'all mean because y'all know what y'all do. All right. But I'm like on your break time. At lunch. Eat a little thing of yogurt and sleep for 30 minutes. Eat yogurt and fly and sleep for that 30. I know what y'all do in your job. I was going to put y'all. I'm like, you know, during your break and lunchtime. That's your time. Take a nap. But when God wakes you up at night, listen. God, what do you want? So he comes to Jesus by night. He said, teacher, we know that you're a teacher that comes from God. For no man can do these signs and miracles that you do except God be with you. Now, remember, he's a religious leader. He's a Jew. Remember, the Jews hated Jesus. So he had to get away from all the haters and had to go to God at night. You got to get away from those haters and go to God, because they're trying to paint a whole nother picture of who Jesus is. You got to get away and go to God yourself. Don't talk to people who don't care about God, who don't know God, who don't know his word, and ask them about God. Go directly to God. So he goes directly to God himself and get away from all the haters. They didn't need to hear this conversation. Everybody don't need to hear your conversation. Everybody don't need to know everything. You and God need to talk. Amen. We have our prayer groups. We have our accountability groups. We have people that we speak to. But sometimes you just need to go to God at night. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, when Jesus repeats something, it's a custom to Jewish. When it's repeated twice, it's for sure. It says, you better be sure, you better know, you better know. It's even amen and amen. So be it, so be it. So Jesus said unto him, so be it, so be it. I'm telling you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we're talking, remember, we're talking about the kingdom mindset. Here's the kingdom of God again, the realm of God. You cannot enter into the realm of God unless you're born again. We're talking about the 10 virgins, the ones that were wise, the one that were stupid. One group had a relationship with God, the other one didn't. Don't fool yourself. You must be born again. And Nicodemus, he tried to play dumb. He said, smart as he was, he said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, the lady said, you better get out of my face. That's not going to happen. See, but they didn't understand when Jesus was talking in symbolism. Jesus said, he said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I'm living water. He said, I'm the true vine. He said, I'm the door. He didn't mean he was a door. So Nicodemus isn't getting it. Jesus says, we take communion. He told him, if you don't eat of my body and drink my blood. They thought he was a cannibal. He lost disciples when he said that. They didn't understand what he was saying. But then he tells us in verse 5. He says, so be it, so be it. You better listen. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You cannot be surprised, I'm telling you, that you must be born again. You cannot be surprised. Jesus, you can't be surprised. If anybody would look into their heart and before we were saved, with all the sin in our heart, you can't tell me you're surprised that we had to do something with all that sin, that God can't look upon that sin. You can't be surprised that something needs to change. You can't just go the way you are. You can't be surprised that you got to do something, that you need something to cover your sins before you stand before God. You can't be surprised about that. That's what Jesus is telling them. I remember when I first got saved, someone presented it to me like this, that when we transition, when we die, when we pass away, that God looks into our heart. If he sees Jesus Christ, oh, that's my son, come on up. If he sees sin in your heart, depart from me, I never knew you. Just that, so you can't go before God with all that sin in your heart. It has to be covered. Our past, present, and future sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's not performance-based, it's grace-based. But just because we're saved don't mean that, okay, I can go and live any old kind of way because I know I'm covered. No, that's not the way it works. Because if you are born again, you can't be comfortable in sin. Let me say that again. Oh, that was a rhyme. Let me say that. If you are born again, you can never be comfortable in sin. You can't. It just gets to a point where, you know what? This ain't even me. Not that we don't sin. Not that we don't get caught up, but it's not me. That's not me anymore. That's what some of you need to tell some of your friends who are trying to influence you to do the wrong things. You know, that's what's happening with, nah, it's just not me anymore. Can we go out? Can we do this? Can we, you know what? That's just not me anymore. And then let them go. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. Let's go back to Matthew. I'm not finished with y'all yet. We got a little bit more to go. Let's go back to verse 3, because I got to read this, Sister Kathy. Okay. Read this, verse 3, 25 and 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Jesus starts off talking about the stupid. Probably because there's more of them in the crowd. This described the mindset of the world. The world had them so distracted and confused, they are not prepared or even care about the return of the King of Kings. The stupid Christians took their lamp with them but did not take any oil with them. The stupid Christians thought they could actually stay at home and grow spiritually on a consistent basis. They went to church but never asked Christ into their heart. They had a Bible but never read it. They had access to Christ through prayer, but they never spent a private time communicating their heart to God through prayer. They had the opportunity to fast daily but never made time to privately fast and pray and connect with God on the deepest level of intimacy. They had strong Christians, real Christians in their life to mentor and disciple them, but they never wanted to humble themselves to submit to the will of God or to submit to godly leadership or authority. Remember, this describes the mindset of a stupid Christian as we await the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Said, read that, so I read it. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise Christians did the exact opposite of the stupid Christians. They went to church. They read their Bibles. They spent time with God. They prayed. They fasted. They allowed themselves to be discipled. But remember, don't get it twisted. It's not performance based. It's relationship based. They didn't do it for a show. They did it because of what they wanted to know. They wanted to know God on an intimate level. It's not performance based. It's not a show. Verse 5. While Christ delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They all went about business as usual. Right? It's sort of like the space we're in right now. Christ hasn't come back yet, so we just do our thing. We sleep, we slumber, we just do our thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. We go to work, we relax, we spend time with family, we come, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. At verse 6, at what time? Midnight. Why does it always happen at midnight? I told y'all. Is it midnight? And so for us, with Christ coming back, is it 11:59? Is it 11:45? What time is it? What time is it? And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom, Christ cometh. Go out and meet him. So I have in my notes, at midnight, when no one expected it. Gosh darn. What were you doing at midnight last night? Amen. What was Saturday night? What were you doing midnight Friday night? Ain't nobody expecting Christ to come back. Yeah. Verse, I have it. It says, at midnight when no one expected it, Jesus Christ returned. Said, go and meet him. Look. It's going to be our time to meet God, either through death or God's return. But either way, are you going to be ready? If Christ doesn't come back, we can transition at any minute. And are we going to be ready? So here we go. Verse 7. Then all of them got up. The stupid and the wise got up together. Cut on their lamps. And the stupid, verse 8, and the stupid said unto the wise, let me borrow your Holy Spirit, because I really don't have a relationship with God. John, let me borrow your Holy Spirit, man. I was just playing this thing. Jerry, let me borrow your Holy... Hey, God's coming back, man. Let me... I got to read this, okay? No, sorry, okay. You love me, but you can't do that, right? Talking about exactly. It's like that, huh? I got y'all. Y'all love me, but it's not like that, huh? Let me borrow your Holy Spirit. I really haven't. I've been playing this thing. I ain't been living right. I've been faking this for all these years. The stupid begin. This is verse 8, paraphrased according to Pastor Carter. The stupid begin to say, my grandmother was a Christian. My dad was a pastor. I used to go to church, but they would always ask for money. Yeah, yeah. So would the club, the restaurant, the movie, and your cell phone provider, okay? They asked for money, too. My grandfather was a deacon. My wife was a devoted Christian. God knows my heart. I didn't have anything to wear to church. My parents prayed for me all the time. I made sure my kids went to Catholic school. I would drop my kids off at church every Sunday. I didn't want to raise my kids like my parents raised me. I gave them a choice to go to church or not. There were so many religions. How could I know that Christ would actually return? I thought it was just like the other made-up stories. All excuses for not having a relationship with Christ and not being prepared. Verse 8, and the foolish and the stupid said unto the wise, let me borrow your Holy Spirit, for my lamps are going out. But the wise answered, you better know it, just like y'all answered me, amen. The wise answer said, no, that's not going to happen. Other than that, I won't be able to stand before God. I can't stand for you and for me. But you better go and try and find God for yourself. How many know that you can't get ready when God comes? It's too late. Yes. You got to stay ready. You can't get ready. You can't live off of someone else's relationship with God. Family, we got to know God for ourselves. Oh, I got to add the last part. They said, you can't live off our relationship. See you later. Deuces. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, Christ came. And they that were ready went in with him. Family, stay ready. Don't get distracted. There's so much stupid foolishness going on today in the world. People getting distracted over a flag and an anthem and a football and all kind of other families. Stay ready. Don't get caught up in this world mindset. Keep a kingdom mindset. Try and get folks saved. Let them know Christ is coming back. And while they went to do whatever they, verse 10, went to do whatever they want to do, Christ came back. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, to the wedding supper. The door was shut. Make no mistake. It talks about it in Revelation. God opened a door that no man can close. Then God shuts a door that no man can open. Once, just like God shut them up, it said in with Noah's ark, God shut them up into the ark. God shut the door. And once God shut that door, ain't nobody else getting in. Right here says, God shut the door. Once Christ comes back, it's too late to get ready. You can't get ready to meet God after you die. You can't. It's too late. You're staring God face to face. And trust me, family, you and I, we want to be on the other side of that door. Yeah. Amen. You want to be on the right side of the door. The Christ side of the door. The kingdom side of the door. Verse 11. Afterwards came the stupid Christians. Saying, Lord, I'm ready. Can you let us in? Verse 11, I have a little another read this. The stupid Christians came later and said, we're ready. Can we enter into your kingdom? But in reality, they had already rejected Christ by not establishing and cultivating a relationship with God. So from day one, as people say, well, God, how could a loving God do that? It's not God. We're the ones that didn't establish. Well, everybody have 24 hours in the day to do whatever they choose to do. We call it free will. Do your own thing. And then when Christ comes back, you can't say that's not fair. You didn't even spend time cultivating or wanting to establish a relationship with him. You had already rejected him before the wedding feast, even before the door was closed. You're not going to live a disconnected life from God and then die and expect to automatically be connected to God. As they found out, it doesn't work like that. Look what Jesus answered. But he answered and said, verily, verily, he said, verily, I say unto you, I don't even know you. We didn't have no relationship. That would hurt. But then Ivy, we talked about it last week. Oh, I got another read this, right? God said, enough with the games and excuses. I never knew you. We never had a relationship. We talked about it last week, family. That's not far-fetched. You can be married to someone and not even know them. Right. Yeah. Sister Sherry, can I get a... I got one amen. You can be married to someone and not even know them.
Amen.
You can, I mean, it's not far-fetched to say, well, all this time I thought... No, you didn't. We were never connected. We never spent intimate time, and intimacy is not sex, it's heart-to-heart time. Was at a men's retreat, and the guy was talking, you know, he was saying his wife, they're not connected. I said, well, you got to get intimate with your wife. Man, we don't want to have sex. He didn't even know the difference between sex and intimacy. It's totally different. The guys don't know it. The women know it. The wise guys do. The stupid guys don't. You can be married and not know someone. You can have kids living in your house. Let me see. Let me finish reading so I don't go too far. You can have kids living in the same house and not know them. Don't be surprised that the people thought they knew God and they didn't. Don't be surprised that people on your job would say, I'm a Christian. Don't be surprised at that. Because as we find out here, there are stupid Christians and wise Christians. And the stupid Christians aren't even saved. They're so stupid, they don't even know they're not saved. I love y'all, okay? But we have to be ready and we have to stay ready. First thing Jesus told them in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by all this foolishness that's going on. And then he tells Nicodemus, dude, you must be born. We got to have a relationship. You got to be born of spirit and water through Jesus Christ. And he tells these ladies right here, I never knew you. I never knew you. You know, that's on us to make time to get to know our wife and our kids and our friends. And yes, even our God. Doesn't just happen. It takes an effort to know God. And you know, we come together on Sunday to get fueled up. But if we just Sunday Christians, then we got to change that. You should be praying and fasting and reading. I would say daily, but you got to check in with God every day, every night. Read the word. Read the Proverbs. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. They found out. They thought it was a religious thing. We just get some lamps and show up. No, it's so much deeper than that. We just go to church and show up. No, it's so much deeper than that. All right, so let me finish this up. Verse 13. And look what Jesus tells. Jesus says, you better watch. Because you don't know the day nor the hour when I'm going to come back. So he called us to do to watch. Jesus makes the statement, makes it relevant to them and to us. Stay ready. This is the ultimate. They got this thing on their mouth. Stay woke. This is the ultimate in stay woke. Be prepared always. You have no idea when Jesus Christ is going to return or when you and I will die and transition into his presence. We must have a kingdom mindset at all times. Let me say that again, family. We got to have a king. Every situation in your life, put it in perspective of a kingdom mindset. What is God saying? How is God speaking? How do I respond godly to this situation? We have to have a kingdom mindset at all time and apply the kingdom mindset in each and every situation. All right, so as we prepare for communion, quickly turn to Mark 13 and 32. And I'll just read quickly as I wrap this up. Because this is what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. I'm going to read 32 through 37. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, and family, just do we believe what we read? That's all to it. You got to get quiet with God and talk to God about this privately. Do you really believe what we read? Is Jesus Christ really coming back? Or is it just something we say and it just is just words on a page? It's like the other made up stories. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter or the doorkeeper to watch. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or when the rooster's crowing, or in the morning, just like the virgins, lest he come suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Verse 37. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Be ready. Stay woke. Wow. So as we prepare to take communion, just think about Jesus on the night which he was betrayed. He gave thanks and he broke bread. And then he left. But before he ascended, after the 40 days of teaching and preaching, after his resurrection, he said he's coming back. And he just told us to watch. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yahweh, faithful God. and elevate that which represents his body. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that it did cost a physical price for us to be free. It's the least we could do is to live for you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. You died on that cross, Lord. On the night when you were betrayed, you gave thanks. So, Lord, let us pause and forgive anyone that's betrayed us. And we thank you because it made us a better person. It pushed us towards you and not away from you. And God, if you can forgive, you told us if we don't forgive, then we can't expect to be forgiven. So we release them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we release them. And we thank you because we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for the physical price you paid so that we could be free. That's why we're going to watch for you, Lord, because you watched out for us when we didn't care about you. All the way to that cross. Go ahead and eat that which represents his body. And then elevate that which represents his blood. The book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something always had to die for something to live. Some blood had to be shed for sins to be covered, whether it was a ram or a bullock or a turtle dove, something had to die for sins to be covered. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood to cover our sins. It's not performance based, it's grace based. You did all the heavy lifting. All we have to do is accept you as our Lord and Savior. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Not life, nor death, height, principalities, things present are things to come. We thank you, Lord. We pray that we would be wise Christians, kingdom mindset, living for you in all that we do and all that we say. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet. I do need to see the men in these two rows for 5 minutes. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give someone a hug. You are dismissed. Men, come slide with me just for a minute.